Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Like a rocket ship, the jobless rate soars upward. And we're not done yet, says the Trump administration. We'll break down the numbers. And today, on the broadcast and podcast, the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council and Labor's Local 860. Good afternoon and welcome to the Monday, May 11th edition of America's Workforce, recorded right here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers all across America. You can find us on awfradio.com. Also, you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts. Could be iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. And once you get hooked, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a five-star rating. We would certainly appreciate that. All right, we have two guests on the show today. Andrew Tinkham will be joining us on behalf of the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. You can find them online at occ.ohio.gov. A couple things we're going to get into. Utilities during the pandemic, striving to protect Ohioans' health and practice social distancing. The Office of the Consumer Council has called on the Public Utilities Commission to suspend energy marketer door-to-door sales. Yeah, good idea to do that right now. What about keeping your utilities connected? Numerous Ohioans, many Ohioans, I should say, are experiencing unemployment or reduced income. So what about your utilities? We'll explain your rights on that. Utility disconnections, municipal water disconnections. We'll get into all of that. We're also going to talk about the latest investigation by the PUCO into Verde. We've talked about this on a number of shows. Consumer complaints have reported that Verde spoofed information on your caller ID to make it appear they're coming from your primary utility company. All right. And what they did, essentially, they got people to switch their service, and the rate went up 2 to 3, 4, 5 times higher than what you were paying. Not what you call very ethical, right? Storm season. Oh, yeah, we've had a lot of rain, a lot of hail here. What do you do when the power goes out? That is so unsettling, I'm telling you. We are so reliant on all of our devices at home, and as soon as the power goes out, yikes. So we'll run all of that down with Andrew. Tony Libertor will be joining us, and this is our segment with Labor's International. Terry O'Sullivan taking a pass this month. He does have a comment here with regard to the CARES Act I'll get to in a minute, but Tony's going to run down the COVID-19 pandemic effects on the industry. New safety campaign. This is the time of year where you see a big uptick in highway construction. It seems like it goes all year round, and obviously it's weather related. If there's going to be good days, they're going to be working on the roads, especially in the wintertime. But they ramp it up at this time, and you may see some billboards around northeastern Ohio pretty much saying, slow down. You know, they double the fines in those areas. So, number one, it's going to cost you more if you're speeding through those areas. But keep in mind, they're human beings working on those projects. And we've seen far too many casualties, far too many casualties. So we'll talk about that. Here's a statement from Terry O'Sullivan, General President of LIUNA, which is the presenting sponsor of America's Workforce, LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America. He said, we need to do more to address the unprecedented health, economic, and job crisis that we're now in. The CARES Act does absolutely nothing regarding health care coverage and important pension reforms and assistance, which would have protected and ensured the retirement security of working families all across the country. Well, you think about that. You lose your job, you lose your health insurance, and then you're going to go on COBRA, which is like 2 to 3 times higher of what you're paying right now. You get that for 18 months. That's a law, but who can afford it? He goes on to say, as millions of Americans find their livelihoods upended and their health and that of their families threatened, some Senate Republican leaders callously rejected provisions that would have helped working-class Americans. While this legislation is a step forward, it cannot and should not be the last step. It is imperative that Congress get back to work on an even more comprehensive and inclusive stimulus package that ensures that families all across America receive the help they need and certainly deserve. Amen to that. Terry O'Sullivan, General President of Laborers International. Now, the numbers. Ugly, ugly, ugly. The U.S. economy virtually collapsed this spring. Unemployment rate skyrocketed. Now, keep in mind, it was, 3.5% in February, 4.4% in March. Last month, 14.4%. And over the weekend, the Trump administration said, we're just getting started. They expect next month, when the May numbers come out, to hit 20%, it may go to 25% in July. The number of unemployed rose in 1 month from 7.14 mil to 23.08 million. Now, this does not count another 3.1 million people who filed for unemployment insurance in the last week of April. Okay? I mean, we're already up probably close to 20%. And it does not count people so discouraged they stop looking for jobs or those forced to work part-time. Adding them, we could be near 23%. Got a comment here from Rich Trumka, head of the Labor Federation. Behind all these numbers are real people. Real people. Families who depend on their paychecks to live. There are also people of color. The jobless rate among Hispanic-named people more than tripled from 6% in March to 18.9% in April. The rate for adult African-Americans rose by 10 percentage points, just shy of 17%. Trumka went on to say, our federal government and our Congress must act swiftly and boldly. He said, you have two jobs now. One, keeping people alive. Two, keeping people on the payroll. He was addressing Congress there. And we got to end this pandemic politicking right now. Amen to that. Jeez. Got a breakdown here on the numbers. Mentioned people of color. People of color, especially hard hit by mass unemployment in industries they labor in. We're talking retail, restaurants, hotels, bars, childcare, health care. The joblessness among African-American teenagers, whose unemployment rate is always the highest, rose from 24% to 28%. Hotels, restaurants, and bars said they went from 13.9 million jobs combined in March, already down 450,000 then, to 7.59 million in mid-April. I mean, pretty much sliced in half. Performing arts, museums, and sports went from 683,000 to 409,000. Healthcare, even healthcare, which was a burgeoning sector, lost 2 million jobs. So did teachers, down 644,900. Factories lost jobs, declining from 12.82 million in March to 11.49 million in April. The nation's car companies, especially the Detroit 3, shut down car firms and 995,000 workers in March and 614,000 in April. Overall, just shy of 2 million factory workers were jobless in April, which is a rate of 13.2%. Construction. Now, construction was deemed essential here in Ohio. Construction firms reported shedding 29,000 jobs in March, down to 7.6 million. They let another 975,000 workers go in April, and construction joblessness rose to 16.6%, and a total of 1.53 million workers. Boy, those are ugly numbers. Ugly numbers. Got a statement here from Scott Paul. We've had him on the show a number of times. He is the head of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. And he said, given that manufacturing never fully recovered from the economic package of the Great Recession, I mean, we're going back, what, 12 years? This is what he said. Families are hurting now. One way our policymakers can give hope to our nation is by taking bold action to put America back to work once it's safe to do so. That means unprecedented investments in rebuilding America, measures to spur auto sales, and incentives to bring back jobs from overseas. So, the Alliance for American Manufacturing has launched a new campaign to urge Congress to finally put in place a robust infrastructure investment package that will create millions of new jobs and provide a desperately needed boost to local economies. You know, that's pretty much what happened back in the Great Depression. FDR started the Works Progress Administration, WPA, which just celebrated an anniversary last week. I think it was at 85 years. And that was a jumpstart for America. And they've been talking, well, first of all, they've been talking about it. Trump said he was going to do it as soon as he took office, but never was able to muster the support. And what a great idea, since we badly need to fix our roads and bridges. All right, we have to take a quick break here. You're listening to America's Workforce. When we come back, the latest from the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
This special message goes out to all veterans and dependents of veterans who are living in Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission proudly provides a wide variety of services and assistance, including the following: filing VA claims, helping obtain disability or widow pensions, assistance obtaining military records, memorial affairs, social work, rent or mortgage assistance, utility bills, food, clothing and hygiene, and VA medical transportation. For more information about these services or your eligibility, call 1-844-405-VETS. That's 1-844-405-8387, or go online to CuyahogaVets.org. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, veterans helping veterans since 1886.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers all across America. You can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts. Could be iTunes, Google Play, just some examples there. Also, we're posting everything online at awfradio.com. All right, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. Hopefully, that'll be happen sometime down the road. ulagency.org. ULAgency.org is the website, ulagency.org. Before we get to Andrew Tinkham, I don't know if you caught this over the weekend. 88 pairs of white nurse's shoes, one for each nurse killed so far for the coronavirus pandemic. That's what National Nurses United members wearing masks brought to Lafayette Park, right in front of the White House, last week, May 7th, to hammer home the message that nurses need personal protective equipment, especially the N95 masks and respirators, to help protect themselves as well as their colleagues and loved ones while they're treating people who are suffering from this virus. And they're not getting it. Or response to the pandemic, according to the NNU members, has been bleak. The next COVID-19 relief package is being discussed and finalized, and we are demanding senators include in the bill the critical protections to keep nurses safe. The union of 155,000 RNs said they also identified key senators, 10 of them, for people to lobby and get the PPE and other protections, including a temporary federal standard mandating healthcare facilities craft and implement worker protection plans into the legislation. They also demanded lawmakers order Trump to fully use the Defense Production Act to order civilian factories converted into PPE production. Boy, you gotta hand it to them. I mean, these nurses are working not 8 hours or 10 hours. There were some of them working 16 hours a day. 16 hours a day, getting hardly any sleep and not getting the equipment. You can find more at National Nurses, or rather Nurses United, I believe. Just Google National Nurses United. It'll take them right to their website. We're trying to line up a segment with them on America's Workforce. Right now, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Andy Tinkham. Andy's with the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council, one of the many agencies working from home. Like myself, working in my den here in Independence, Ohio. Andrew, how you faring? Welcome back to the show. How's things going for you in the midst of this pandemic?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, it's amazing that you can be working from home but not skip a beat and be able to continue to help consumers. It's really went well for our office. Remind your consumers they can still call us or reach out to us via email, and we can still respond to them. Like I said, it's all our staff is, even though we're not in an office, we are still doing everything we can to advocate for consumers.
Now, are you one of the many millions of people that are doing the Zoom meetings? I mean, I'm hearing people doing 5-10 of them a day. Are you part of that group?
I am part of that group. I think I've done Zoom, Cisco WebEx, Microsoft Teams. I think I have now done every single video conference program that's out there. And I think going into this, I had never done one before. So
yeah,
certainly have new skills that I've learned in this process.
Yeah, yeah, it is a learning curve, no doubt about it. All right, let's get into an update here. Because of this pandemic, there's a couple of things that have changed here. Let's start off with these door-to-door marketers. They're not allowed to do that right now. Don't you just pick it up from there?
Yeah, no, you're exactly correct. That's something that our office did advocate for as soon as this, you know, this pandemic started to kind of take off here in the United States, but especially here in Ohio, you know, up in Cuyahoga County, one of the first counties up there to get hit pretty hard with it. And one thing we advocated for to the PUCO is we asked them to suspend door-to-door energy marketing and also any in-person sales by energy marketers. We just felt that there was no need to have that in-person interaction, especially someone ringing your doorbell. So that is one thing that we advocated for and that the PUCO did grant. So if a customer does have a marketer come to their door, it's very important for them to report that to the Public Utilities Commission, because that should not be happening. Also, consumers should not be receiving any in-person utility meter readings. This is usually not something consumers run into. Most consumers have their meters on the outside of their home, or there's a remote connected to the meter where if the utility drives down the street, they can collect the meter reading. But there are still some consumers that have meters that are in basements or might be in the backyard behind a locked gate. That would require the consumer and the technician to actually have face-to-face interaction. So at this time, those consumers that are in that situation will not receive an actual meter reading. If those consumers aren't interested in getting an actual meter reading, it's important for them to contact their electric or natural gas company and find out when they could provide a meter reading via telephone, and then that way they can get an actual meter reading. Otherwise, it will be an estimated read. The other good news, obviously, with high unemployment numbers and some consumers even having reduced income as we open up, maybe they're not getting the normal amount of hours that they would normally have received prior to going into the coronavirus pandemic. But one thing that the utilities are not doing at this time is they're not disconnecting service. All investor-owned electric, natural gas, water and wastewater, and telephone companies have suspended service disconnections. So that's good news. And also the utilities were required to review their policies to take measures to keep utilities connected, obviously, during this critical time. Some other good news is on March 31st, the Ohio EPA director also signed a statewide order to maintain public water service during the COVID state of emergency. So this prevents water systems from shutting off someone's water service due to non-payment. And also, if a customer was disconnected back to January 1st, they can have their service reconnected. They just need to contact their water division in order to have that service connected. And finally, something that we're also doing as an office to advocate for residential utility consumers is we're recommending the PUCO to repurpose millions of dollars in funds that were intended to fund non-essential Columbia Gas and Vectren energy efficiency programs that cannot be performed in customers' homes at this time due to the current pandemic. And we just feel like repurposing this money will provide direct bill payment assistance for many residential customers as the coronavirus takes its toll, obviously, on Ohio's economy and in the society. Retaining these funds for energy efficiency programs pale in comparison to the need for more immediate relief that customers need. At this time, we're kind of waiting to hear, how the PUCO feels about that. But consumers can go out to our website. We have a lot of good information on assistance programs, what the utilities are doing at this time during the pandemic. So they're more than welcome to go out to our website to obtain additional information.
All right, and that is occ.ohio.gov. Just go to occ.ohio.gov. You mentioned the door-to-door marketers, and that was a pretty swift action on behalf of the PUCO and working with your office. Now, have you heard any reports of the marketers, still trying to do this kind of thing in the midst of this pandemic, or have they backed off? And maybe you don't have, maybe it's happening, we don't know about it, but what's the answer to that right now, Andrew?
It's a great question. I have not heard of that. I haven't heard anyone in our office mention that either. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It's one of those things that still could be happening out there. Hopefully not, but I have not heard anything. So I guess no news is maybe good news, hopefully. But hopefully they're not. But it is important because there are some, we've talked about some of these rogue energy marketers. They certainly could be out there still marketing consumers, even when they're technically not supposed to.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, you know as well as I, there's some people that don't believe that this pandemic is real. And they're trying to make a buck. They're going to still be aggressive, and I'm sure there's a few out there that are doing their best to try to make a sale. But and if that happens, they should be reported. Let's put it that way. All right, let's take a quick break. Definitely. When we Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about this investigation into Verdi. You and I have talked extensively about that. Also, what happens when your power goes out? We'll run that down. Andrew Tinkham, on behalf of the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. Also, Tony Libertor of Labor's Local 860, how his workers are being protected. Back in a few minutes. Once again, you're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
Part union newsletter, part industry trade magazine. The Labor Citizen provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter to the hard-working members of Ohio's labor trades. Building trades unions that subscribe to the Labor Citizen guarantee their members receive a monthly report crafted by their own union leaders, along with interesting feature stories and news relevant to Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to active and retired members from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the news and issues important to Ohio's labor trades anywhere. And the only way you can have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs. Because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio. For workers across America, you can listen to this show and any show we do wherever you stream podcasts. Could be iTunes or Google Play, just some examples. And once you get hooked on the show, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating. Andrew, that would be you. Andrew Tinkham joining us on our live line here. Give us an update on what's happening with the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. Yeah, we'd appreciate that. You know, podcasting has really become huge in America. So we have a national audience. So, and you know, what you're talking about pertains to just about everybody. I'm sure there's 49 other states that have similar consumer councils, so maybe they can follow some of the guidelines here in Ohio, because we here in Ohio are doing the right thing, okay? I just wanted to point that out. Let's get into Verde Energy. You and I have talked about this a couple of times, and this is Flash speaking, a sleazy company, all right? Now, I'm going to let you pick it up from there, because you're a little more polished than I am on this whole situation, so go ahead.
Well, Verde is certainly a bad actor here in Ohio, and have shown to be a bad actor in other states. So let's go through this, because, I know we've talked about this in the past, but, you know, this case is, you know, as I kind of dove into it, it is amazing to see what's going on, and very sad at the same time. But the PUCO recently, they adopted a settlement that purported to resolve an investigation into Verde's marketing and sales practices. The PUCO, they began investigating Verde Energy in April of 2019, and it was due to them receiving hundreds of customers' complaints to their call center. According to the PCA staff, Verde used numerous unfair, misleading, deceptive, and unconscionable practices in marketing to and enrolling customers. The PCA staff noted that between October 1st of 2018 and April 30th of 2019, they received 481 customer complaints regarding Verde's service, which that's quite a few. I don't think they normally would get that many for a marketer. Consumer complaints filed at the PCU reported that Verde spoofed the information on the caller ID to make it appear it was coming from your primary utility company. So if you're up in Cleveland area, it might have looked like it was coming from Ohio Edison or coming from Cleveland Electric Illuminating, you know, maybe it was a little, you know, south of Cleveland. It might have appeared it was coming from AEP, and this was going on through the whole state. Caller ID spoofing occurs when the caller changes the text and phone number to make it appear it's coming from a trusted source. There was even one complaint in the PCU staff report where a consumer stated that the caller ID appeared to be coming from the Internal Revenue Service, which I heard scammers doing that. Certainly I've never heard a certified company that use quite those type of tactics to get someone to answer the phone. Complaints also reveal that during the sales calls, customers were promised prices for electric and natural gas that would be lower than the local utility standard offer, even though that was not true. We heard from numerous customers who stated they were placed on a variable rate that was 2 to 3 times higher than what the electric company would charge. In addition, Verde was unclear regarding their terms and conditions of its contract and would often provide customers with wrong information regarding the time limit on rescinding contracts. Verde also failed to maintain proper documentation to support enrollments, violating third-party verification standards designed to verify the authenticity and consent of the consumer enrollments. The PCS staff in Verde, once again, as I mentioned at the beginning, did reach a settlement in the case, which was approved by the PCO commissioners on February 26, 2020. As part of the settlement, Verde ceased marketing and customer enrollment for 18 months, but it is allowed to continue to serve their existing customers, which could result in Verde profiting off their customers they obtained through these deceptive acts. Verde ceased marketing and enrolling customers in May 2019, and the suspension will be lifted on October 30th, 2020. Second, Verde would refund electric customers from October 1st, 2018 through April 30th of 2019, but it's based on a rate they were charged, and it's the second lowest 12-month fixed rate, 100% renewable price as shown on the PCO historical apples-to-apples chart the week of December 18, 2018. So it's like this arbitrary rate that they decided to re-rate back to. Consumers outside these dates are not eligible for a refund under the settlement, and the re-rate would limit refunds to approximately $1.1 million. And finally, Verde was required to pay a civil forfeiture of $675,000. In order to protect residential consumers, OCC recommended the PCU reject the settlement. Verde, which is part of Spark Energy Companies, has repeatedly been investigated for the same practices of misleading and improper sales and marketing to residential consumers in Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Illinois, New York, Connecticut. One of the common themes throughout these investigations in other states is that Spark companies' retail sales agents misrepresented information to prospective residential customers regarding prices that would be charged under the variable rate. These other proceedings demonstrate how Spark companies have engaged in the same conduct identified in the PCA staff in their staff report. And while our office does commend the PCO for acting against the bad energy marketer, Verde Energy, we recommended that PCO take an even stronger action against this ripoff artist. First, the PCO should have directed Verde to pack the bags and leave the state for good and never return. In this year, the health pandemic, with Ohioans stressed and at home, we cannot think of a worse company in the realm of the utility services to unleash on the good people of Ohio by allowing them to start marketing customers again on October 30th. And I thought it was kind of ironic that it's around Halloween. It's kind of scary that, you know, they would allow Verde to start marketing customers. Second, we advocated to have current Verde consumers return to their local electric and or natural gas company standard service offer, which have been very competitive rates for consumers. And third, we felt the PCO should require Verity to identify all customers who were overcharged and order full restitution to those customers, not just those customers between October 1st of 2018 and April 30th of 2019. And finally, the PUCO should have ordered Verity to pay the $1.5 million civil forfeiture, which is what the PUCO staff initially recommended before it decided to settle with Verity. Now, on March 27th of this year, the OCC did file an application for rehearing in the case since the settlement was not in the best interest of consumers. And on April 22nd of 2020, the PUCO did grant the OCC's application for rehearing to reconsider the issues that we raised as an office. So we'll have to see what ends up happening. Hopefully, maybe we'll see some maybe some stronger actions towards Verity as part of the rehearing. And we are also advocating there to be a law that if a company does use caller ID spoofing to obtain customers, that if they're caught doing that, that once they're caught, they're never allowed to do business in the state of Ohio again. So certainly I'll keep you posted. Hopefully maybe we see some stronger actions as part of the rehearing.
Yeah, good stuff there. There's a lot to unwind in that, but I'll tell you, this is one company that should not be around. I don't care what state. As you indicated, they've got problems in other states as well. Verde Energy. Look out for that one. Okay, a couple minutes left in the show. It is storm season. It's been a really nasty spring.
Oh, my goodness.
Cold, snow over the weekend, hailstorms. Okay, what happens when the power goes out? I mean, everybody at one time or another in their life is going to experience this. So why don't you tell us what your options are here, Andrew?
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's nothing worse to have that power go out because, you know, you kind of start to take it for granted until you don't have it. What's important, even before an outage occurs, we do recommend customers to contact their electric company and register to receive emails or text alerts when the power goes out. That'll provide information on when service will be restored or estimated times when service will be restored. So that's usually a service that is offered for free, and we highly recommend consumers taking advantage of that so they can keep updated when there is a power outage. If a customer does rely on medical equipment, it's also important for those consumers to register with the electric company's list of critical customers. That will prioritize having your service restored sooner than it may be restored if you're not on this priority list. Now, there's no guarantee that it will be restored quickly, but it doesn't hurt to have that done. If a customer is interested in doing that, they should contact their electric company. There's usually a document that needs to be filled out by the doctor's office certifying that there is a medical need. And then at that point, then they can provide it back to the utility company. If a customer is in that critical situation where they have medical equipment, we highly recommend them, you know, having a contingency plan to either stay with friends and family until the service is reconnected. And they can also consider purchasing a generator. Now, if a customer is considering purchasing a generator, they never want to exceed the rated capacity of the generator. A generator can typically run a refrigerator, a sump pump, a furnace fan, and maybe a few lights in the home. For customers that do have a generator, what we recommend is when you start the generator, you know, to add your largest appliance first and then add additional items one at a time. And one of the most important things with a generator is do not run a generator inside your home or inside an attached garage because of carbon monoxide issues. Obviously, that can make you very sick and even can be fatal. So make sure to run it outside and even away from windows if they are open. And finally, with generators, it's a good idea if you do get a generator to contact your utility company. They may have some policies that you need to abide by when you are using the generator. And also, they may want to have you turn off the generator if they're getting ready to restore power since they have linemen working and it might be a safety issue at that time. We do have a lot of good information on power outages at our website. So feel free to go out there. That includes more information at www.occ.ohio.gov.
All right, Andrew, we're going to leave it on that note. Again, that website, occ.ohio.gov. The Twitter handle is at Ohio Utility User. Good information. You take care, my friend. Be safe, and we'll talk to you in June, okay?
That sounds good. You too, and you be safe. And once again, thanks for having our office on the show today.
You got it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Tony Libertor on behalf of Labor's Local 860 coming up next. Once again, you are listening to America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange, news, talk, sports, and workforce politics, the fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. Once again, you can find us online at awfradio.com. You can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. And once you get hooked on the show, please subscribe to our podcast. Give us a five-star rating. We would certainly appreciate that. This next segment brought to you in part by the fine people of the North Coast Labor Federation. And I just want to mention, too, we got Tony Libertor on line number two, talking earlier in the show about the jobless numbers, 14.8% unemployment. The Coalition for Prosperous America issued a press release on this on Friday, saying a lot of the jobs lost were low-wage jobs. You can take a look at retail jobs, leisure, hospitality. There were some lower-paid healthcare jobs. Manufacturing did lose about 1.3 million jobs. Construction lost some jobs. But they pointed out that, and this is something we've been talking on the show for so many years, that Washington needs to implement an aggressive Made in America program. They call it Made in America 2030, which would be comprised of infrastructure and industrial strategy. The priority, said the coalition, should be to rebuild our manufacturing sector, restore good-paying jobs, and regain self-sufficiency in vital sectors like medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, and our infrastructure. Hello! Let's go to our live line now and join Tony Libertor of Labor's 860. Hey, Tony, this probably doesn't come as a shock to you. Maybe we should work on our infrastructure. What do you think?
We could certainly answer that, Colin.
I figured you're ready, willing, and certainly able. Well, let's talk about, you've got some people working. I know these are scary times. Not everybody's getting their personal protective equipment. Maybe you can fill us in on how your workers, and you have many of them, over 4,000, working on the highways, and I know in the public sector as well. What's the latest there? What's happening?
Well, February, we start off as a good season for 2020, but comparatively speaking, we're down 40,000 hours from this past March to the March of 19, 1 year ago. We're hit hard.
Wow. Wow. Dramatic. Dramatic. What about the equipment? Are they getting the now? In your case, I mean, many of them are working outside. So, what's the latest there?
Well, you know, you're distancing. Of course, you know, we've always said we've social distanced from day one. But
right,
you know, the crews out on the roads, you know, they keep their separation. You know, it doesn't take two guys to push a shovel. And then you have, you know, your operators on the projects up in their machines. So we do have our separation, and we've seen a surge in work here for April. So we hope to get that trend turned around.
Mm-hmm. And the weather hasn't been all that nice, but nonetheless, you got to get these projects done. Opening Ohio or reopening Ohio, we're seeing, in fact, there's some retail locations that are going to open tomorrow. We're going to see more in the next probably a week to 10 days. That's probably going to increase some traffic, I would imagine. It also is going to probably raise some awareness for your safety campaign on the roads. Well, let's talk about this, because this is the time of year where you go out in the public and say, hey, you know what? There's human lives here. Slow down. Fines are doubled in those areas. Maybe you can talk about what Labor's 860 has been doing over the years with that regard.
Well, for quite a few years, we've had our spring work season awareness program with the billboards. The billboards work well for us because, of course, motorists see them and they see our people. We've changed up, Flash, on our message. Rather than the standard logo and use caution in work zones. The message now, this year, we've launched our new message. It says, drive like your kids work here. And a couple of children images with hard hats. Trying to get a little
drive
more
personal. Like, yeah, that's good. And that just started this year then?
Yes, yeah, 30 boards. 25 posters, 5 electronic. You know, I have to mention, you know, follow work zone safety. A week ago today, Alaska, outside of Fairbanks, the Highway Patrol, you know, with the reduced traffic, they're focusing on work zones. And between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., they made 31 stops outside one work zone for motorists who are speeding. So the Highway Patrol's out there, even though there's fewer cars, and that does the percentages increase in safety. But nonetheless, you know, our frontline workers are out there in harm's way, so we must use caution in work zones.
Now, to your knowledge, do they have it well posted over there where to slow down? This is, you're talking Alaska, right?
Yeah. You draw a picture when they say Alaska, but, you know, it was worthy of news, even though it's our furthest northern outpost. In fact, people actually coming from the North Pole heading south into Fairbanks. And they're active. You know, they're out there. They're ticketing motorists. And, you know, with the responsible restart that the governor has announced, personal care on the 15th, outdoor dining on the 15th, and then dining in on the 21st. It's going to be a change. And for those states I followed who have opened early, people aren't too anxious to leave their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these numbers with our neighboring states, You know, Ohio population is 12 million, 22,000 cases. Michigan is 2 million less, and they have over twice as many cases, 46,000 cases, 4,500 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, right next door, a little more than half the population of Ohio at 6.6 million. But they actually have 2,000 more cases and a couple hundred more deaths, even though they're half the size of Ohio. So Governor DeWine's done a great job. And, you know, we certainly urge people to practice distancing and use safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's I agree with you. I think he's doing a bang up job and his health director, too. But, you know, as well as I, they're taking a lot of heat because of that. And there's a contingent out there that's getting a lot of media play saying that, you know what, he's gone too far. But, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I understand a lot of people are hurting, but you have to exercise.
They're a noisy group, aren't they, Flash?
Yeah, they are very noisy. But you have to exercise on the side of caution here. And he's only trying to protect the health of everybody else. And granted, you want to go back to work. And you notice, too, a lot of these folks that are very vocal are not wearing any masks and they're standing very close to each other. Have you noticed that, Tony?
They use bullhorns.
Yeah. Oh, my
several
gosh.
Several states have had, the noisy minority.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the media picks up on that. That's the sad part.
What about that fellow from Delaware? He was all over Facebook denying, you know, the seriousness of this, and he winds up succumbing to the sickness himself.
Yeah. Oh, there's many in that category. There's a guy in Marion, Ohio. This is early in March. He said it was a bunch of bull. And four weeks later, he's dead. So let's talk a little bit. I saw this on the Labor's International website, Terry O'Sullivan, talking about the CARES Act and the fact that it didn't go far enough. And I know there's so many parts that were left out. There's a lot of people hurting. We have to protect our pensions. I could go on and on and on. But number one, I just want to get back to the infrastructure here. Do you think because of what's going on here, there's so many people in low wage jobs that should get the opportunity to increase their income if they get into, say, the infrastructure? And there's so many parts of the infrastructure. It's not just roads and bridges. What about our electrical grid? I mean, we could go on. And these are all good jobs, really good jobs. Tony, in your you've been around a long time. In your professional opinion here, do you think that this could be a game changer, that we could jumpstart this infrastructure and rebuild America? What's your thoughts?
Well, as a House rep, his analogy was, it's like witnessing Bigfoot, you know? They talk about it, and it makes a lot of noise, but it never existed. You know, this country's gotten so far behind, and it makes it impossible to compete globally with a D-rated infrastructure. And you're right. There are more components to it. You have your water, your sewer, of course, your electric, and then the roads. You know, out there building safe roads for families to arrive at their destination safely, and workers, provided the jobs come. So it's more important than just to talk about. They need to act.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully this day will come sooner than later, because it's so badly needed. You mentioned the D-rating. That's been a D-rating for a number of years. 25% of the bridges are structurally deficient. You don't want to be on one of those when that bridge comes down, but they're there. They're right here in northeastern Ohio. They're in every corner of America. That's the sad part.
Or under one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Tony, will you be safe? Anything else you'd like to comment here going forward?
Well, just exercise caution in work zones and keep your social distancing and be safe and be strong.
You got it. Okay, labors860.com. You take care. We'll be talking to you down the road, okay? And we'll make sure that we get the word out on that safety campaign. I'll tell you, there's lives working on those highways, and you definitely don't want to be going too fast. Keep in mind that the fines are doubled. We've got a pretty good presence of the Highway Patrol out there, but there's still some people that totally ignore it. So you take
Thanks
care, my friend, all right?
Bye-bye.
You got it. Tony Libertor, Labors Local 860. That's labors860.com. The national website, by the way, is liuna.org. I'd like to thank Terry O'Sullivan as our presenting sponsor, making this show possible, liuna.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, Frank Matthews back with the Communication Workers of America and the latest from the Cleveland Building Trades. Until then, all of you have a wonderful and safe day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.